Chapter 27, Paul's Journey to Rome. And when it was determined that we should sail for Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to a centurion named Julius of the Augustan regiment. And embarking in a ship from Adramyttium, which was about to sail to the places on the coast of Asia, we put to sea, Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we landed at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him leave to go to his friends and refresh himself. And putting to sea from there, we sailed under the lee of Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed across the sea, which is off Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship from Alexandria sailing for Italy, and he put us on board. And when we had sailed slowly many days, and had come with difficulty off Cnidus, the wind not permitting us to proceed, we sailed under the lee of Crete, opposite Salmone. Passing it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens, near the city of Lycia. Since much time had passed, and the voyage was now dangerous, because even the fast was already over, Paul advised them and said to them, "Gentlemen, I perceive that the voyage will be of injury and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives." But the centurion gave more heed to the master and the owner of the ship than to those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the harbour was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised to set sail from there also, if by any means they could reach Phoenix, a harbour of Crete opening towards the south-west and north-west, and to winter there. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, they weighed anchor and sailed along Crete close inshore. But after a short time there beat down a tempestuous wind, which is called Euraclio. And when the ship was caught and could not face the wind, we gave way to it and were driven along. And running under the lee of a small island called Clauda, we were able with difficulty to secure the skiff. And when they had hoisted it up, they used the ports to undergird the ship, and fearing that they would be cast upon the Syrtis sandbar, they lowered the sail, and so were driven by the wind. The next day, as we were being violently tossed by the storm, they began to jettison the cargo. And the third day, with their own hands, they threw overboard the tackle of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars shone upon us for many days, and no small tempest lay upon us, all hope that we should be saved was now taken away. And after they had been without food for a long time, Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Gentlemen, you should have listened to me and not have set sail from Crete and gained this injury and loss. And now I encourage you to be of good courage, for there shall be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this night there stood by me an angel of the God whose I am, whom also I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul, you must stand before Caesar, and God has granted you the lives of all those who sail with you. Therefore, gentlemen, be of good courage, for I believe God that it shall be even as he has spoken to me, but we must be cast upon a certain island.' But when the 14th night had arrived, as we were driven to and fro in the Sea of Adria, about midnight, the sailors sensed they were drawing near to land, and they sounded and found 30 metres. And after a little space they sounded again and found 25 metres. And fearing we should run aground on the rocks, they let go four anchors from the stern and wished for daylight. And as the sailors were seeking to abandon the ship and had lowered the skiff into the sea, under the pretence that they would lay out anchors from the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, 'Except these stay in the ship, you cannot be saved.' Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the skiff and let it fall off. And while the day was dawning, Paul pleaded with them to take some food, saying, "This day is the 14th day that you wait and continue fasting, having eaten nothing. Therefore I beg you to take some food, for this is for your health. For not a hair shall perish from the head of any of you." When he had said this, he had taken bread. He gave thanks to God in the presence of all, and he broke it and began to eat. Then they were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. And in all we were 276 persons on the ship. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship by throwing the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they noticed a bay with a beach, and they took counsel whether they could drive the ship upon it. And casting off the anchors, they left them in the sea. And at the same time, loosing the bands of the rudder and hoisting up the foresail to the wind, they made for the beach. But striking a place where the two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the prow stuck fast and remained immovable. But the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion, desiring to save Paul, stopped them from their purpose, and commanding that they who could swim should throw themselves overboard first and get to land, and then the rest, some on planks, some on other things from the ship. And so it came to pass that they all escaped safely to land.